What did she mean, Orion's alive?
I ask Kavix. He's as shell-shocked as I am, nervously eyeing the black-clad howlers prowling through the room. We didn't lose one, but we're in shit shape.
Kavix!
What she said.
Exactly what she said. The Pax is safe.
Zevro shouts as he re-enters the room with Victra. They pursued Cassius through the blackened door on the far side of the room, but return empty-handed and limping.
On me!
There's more I want to ask, Kavix, but Victra's wounded. I rush to her as she leans against the shattered onyx table, hunched over a deep gash in her biceps. Her mask's off, face twisted and sweating. She injects herself with painkillers and blood coagulant to stem the flow from the wound. I see the hint of bone through the blood.
Victra.
Shit. Oh, your boyfriend is faster than he used to be. Almost got him in the hall. And I think Aja told him a little of your willow way.
Looked like. You prime?
Don't worry about me, darling.
She gives me a wink as Severo calls my name again. He and Clown are bent over Moira's smoking remains. The terrorist lord is unfazed by the carnage around us.
One of the Furies. Roasted.
Good cooking, Reap. Crispy on the edges, bloody down the middle. Just how I like. Ash is gonna be pissed.
You cut my comms!
You were acting a bitch, confusing my men.
Acting a bitch? The hell is wrong with you? I was using my head instead of just shooting everything. We could have done without murdering half the damn room.
His eyes are darker and crueler than those of the friend I remember.
This is war, boyo. Murder's the name of the game. Don't be sad we're good at it.
That was Mustang! What if we killed her?
He shrugs. I poke his chest.
Did you know she would be here? Tell me the truth.
Nah, didn't know. Now back up, boyo.
He looks up at me, impudently, like he wouldn't mind taking a swing. I don't back up.
What was she doing here?
How the hell would I know?
He looks past me to Ragnar, who is pushing Kavix back toward the howlers, gathering in the center of the room.
Everyone prepare to squab out. We're gonna have to cut through an army to get out of this shit den. Evac point is 10 floors up on the black side.
Where's our prize?
Victra eyes the carnage. Bodies litter the ground. Silvers shivering in pain. Coppers crawling across the floor, dragging broken legs.
Probably fried.
Yeah, probably.
Clown casts me a commiserating look as we move from Severo to pick through the bodies.
It's a slagging mess.
Did you know Mustang would be here?
Not at all. Seriously, boss.
He glances back at Severo.
What do you mean he jammed your comms?
Stop, John, and find the bloody damn silver. Somebody grab the pin from the hall.
Clown finds Quicksilver at the opposite end of the room, farthest from the hallway door. To the right of the grand viewport that looks down onto Phobos. He's lying motionless, pinned under a pillar that broke from its place in the floor to fall sideways against the wall. The blood of others covers his turquoise tunic. Bits of glass jut from wounded knuckles. I feel his pulse. He's alive. So, the mission wasn't a damn waste. But there's a contusion on his forehead from shrapnel.
Ragnar!
I call Ragnar and Victra, the two strongest of our party, to help pry the pillar off the man. Ragnar wedges the razor he threw into the Death Knight's head under the pillar, using a rock as a fulcrum, and is about to heave upward with me.
Whoa!
When Victra calls for us to wait.
Look!
Where the pillar's top meets the wall, there's a faint blue glow along a seam that runs from the floor up the wall to form a rectangle in the wall. It's a hidden door. Quicksilver must have been rushing toward it when the pillar fell. Victra puts her ear against the door, and her eyes narrow.
Pulse torches. Oh-ho. Silver's bodyguards are through there. Must have hid them in case things got tense. They're speaking Nagal.
The language of the Obsidians. And they're cutting their way through the wall. We'd be dead if the pillar hadn't fallen and blocked the door. Pure luck saved our hides. All three of us know it, and it deepens the anger I have with Severo and calms a bit of the wildness in Victra's eyes. Suddenly, she's seeing how reckless this was. We never should have rushed into this place without its blueprints. Severo did what I would have done a year ago. Same result. The three of us share a common thought, glancing at the main door of the room. We don't have long. Ragnar and Victra help me pry Quicksilver free. The unconscious man's legs drag behind him, broken, as Victra carries him back to the center of the room. There, Severo is readying Clown and Pebble to push out from the room with our prisoners, Mateo and Kavix, who stares at me, open-mouthed. But Pebble can't even stand. We're all in shit shape.
We've too many prisoners. We won't be able to move fast. And we don't have any EMPs this time.
Not that they do anyone any good on a space station, when all that separates us from space is inch-thin bulkheads and air recyclers.
Then we trim the fat.
Severo stalks toward Kavix, who sits, wounded and bound, with his hands behind his back. He points his pulse fist into Kavix's face.
Nothing personal, big man.
Severo pulls the trigger. I shove him sideways. The pulse blast misses Kavix's head and slams into the ground near the slumped form of Mateo, nearly taking off the man's leg. Severo wheels on me, pulse fist pointing at my head.
Get that out of my face.
I stare down the barrel, heat radiating into my eyes, causing them to sting, so I have to look away.
Who do you think that is? Your friend? He is not your friend!
We need him alive! He's a chip to barter, and Orion might be alive.
Chip to barter? What about Moira? Had no problem frying her, but you spare him?
Severo squints at me, lowering his weapon. His lips curl back from his janky teeth.
Oh, it's for Mustang. Of course it is.
He's Pax's father.
And Pax is dead! Why? 'Cause you let enemies live. This isn't the Institute, boyo. This is war. And war is really bloody damn simple. Kill the enemy when you can. However you can. As fast as you can, or they kill you and yours.
Severo turns from me, realizing now that the others are watching us with growing trepidation.
You're wrong about this.
We can't drag them with us.
Screwface returns from the main hall.
Halls are swarming, boss. More than 100 security personnel. We're slagged.
We can cut through them if we go light.
100? Boss.
Check your juice packs,
Severo says, squinting at his pulse fist. No. I'll not let Severo's short-sightedness ruin us.
Slag that. Pebble, hail Holiday. Tell her evac is squabbed. Give her our coordinates. She's to park 1 kilometer beyond the glass. Ass end our way.
Pebble doesn't reach for her datapad. She glances at Severo, torn between us, not knowing who to follow.
I'm back. Now do it.
Do it, Pebble.
Victra gives a small nod. Pebble grimaces at Severo.
Sorry, Severo.
She nods to me,
Holiday?
And opens up her comm to hail Holiday. The rest of the howlers look to me, and it hurts, knowing I've made them choose like this.
Clown, grab Moira's datapad if it isn't fried, and get the data from the console if you can. I want to know what contract they were negotiating. Screwface, take Sleepy and cover the hall. Ragnar, Kavix is yours. He tries to flee, cut his feet off. Victra, you got any rappelling line left?
She checks her belt and nods.
Start tying us together. Everyone in the center of the room has to be tight.
I turn to Severo.
Lay charges at the door. Company's coming.
He says nothing. It's not anger behind his eyes. It's the secret seeds of self-doubt and fear coming to blossom. Hate seeping into his eyes. I know the look. I've felt it on my own face too many times to count. I'm ripping away the only thing he's ever cared about. His howlers. After all he's done, I make them choose me over him. When he doesn't trust I'm ready. It's an indictment of his leadership. A validation of the intense self-doubt I know he must feel in the wake of his father's passing. It shouldn't have been that way. I said I'd follow, and I didn't. That's on me. But this isn't the time for coddling. I tried words with him, tried using our friendship to make him see reason. But since I've been back, I've seen him respond to things only with violence and force. So now I'll speak his bloody damn language. I step forward.
Unless you want to die here, sack up and get moving.
His wrinkled little face hardens as he watches his howlers run to do my bidding.
You get them killed, I'll never forgive you.
Makes two of us. Now go.
He turns away, running toward the door to plant the remaining explosives from his belt. I remain looking around the broken room, finally seeing organization in the chaos as my friends work together. They'll all have deduced my plan by now. They know how manic it is, but the confidence with which they work breathes life into me. They put the trust in me that Sevro wouldn't. Still, I catch Ragnar glancing at the viewport 3 times now. All our suits are compromised. Not one of us will be able to stay pressurized in vacuum. I don't even have a mask. Whether we live or die is up to Holiday. I wish there was some way I could control the variables. But if the time in darkness taught me anything, it's that the world is larger than my grasp. Have to trust others.
Jammers on, everyone.
I toggle my own on my belt. Don't want the cameras outside spotting anyone's exposed faces.
Holiday is in position.
I glance out the window to see the transport hovering a click beyond the window. Hardly larger than a pen tip at this distance.
On my mark, we're going to fire at the center of the viewport.
I tell my friends, making an effort to keep the fear from my voice.
Screwface, Sleepy, get back here. Put your masks on the unconscious prisoners.
Oh, gory hell. I was hoping you had a better plan than that.
If you try to hold your breath, your lungs will explode. So exhale soon as the viewport shatters. Let yourself pass out. Have sweet dreams. And pray for Holiday to be as quick on the stick as Clown is in the bedroom.
They laugh and cluster tight, letting Victra wind her repelling line through our munitions belts, so we're together like grapes on a vine. Severo's finishing laying explosives at the door. Sleepy and Screwface join us, waving at him to hurry.
Attention.
A voice booms from hidden speakers in the walls. As Victra leans close to me to link me with Ragnar.
This is Alec T. Yamato, head of security for Sun Industries. You are surrounded. Discard your weapons, release your hostages, or we will be forced to fire on you. You have 5 seconds to comply.
There's no one in the room but us. The main doors are closed. Sevro runs back to us from laying the charges.
Sevro! Fast like!
He's not halfway to us when he crumples to the ground like an empty can crushed by a boot. I'm slammed down to the floor by the same force, knees buckling, bones, lungs, throat all stomped down by massive gravity. My vision swims, blood moving sluggishly to my head. I try to lift my arm. It weighs more than 300 pounds. Security has increased the artificial gravity in the room, and only Ragnar's not on his belly. He's fallen to a knee, shoulders hunched and straining, like Atlas holding up the world.
The hell is that?
Victra manages, on the floor looking past me to the door. It's opened, and through it comes not a grey or an obsidian or gold, but a giant black egg, the size of a small man, rolling sideways. It's smooth and glossy, and small white numbers mark its side. A robot, as illegal as EMPs. Augustus's great fear. Like reaching out of an oil spill, the metal morphs at the point of the egg to reveal a small cannon, which aims at Sevro. I try to rise, try to aim my pulse fist, but the gravity is too much. I can't even lift my arm to point the weapon. For all her strength, Victra can't either. Sevro's grunting on the floor, crawling away from the machine.
The viewport! Ragnar! Fire at the viewport!
His pulse fist is at his side. Straining, he begins to lift it against the massive gravity, arm shaking, throat gargling that eerie war chant that sounds like a distant avalanche. The sound rises, an otherworldly bellow till his whole body convulses with effort and his arm draws level, and the smallest of stars is born in his palm as the pulse fist gathers its trembling molten charge. The entirety of my friend shudders, and his fingers release the trigger. His arm wrenches back. The pulse fire leaps forward to scream into the center of the glass pane. The many stars ripple as the pane bends outward, and cracks shoot down the window. And the glass shatters. Space drinks the air of the room. Everything slides. A copper flips past us, screaming. She goes silent when she hits vacuum. Others who cowered during our brawl cling to the broken table in the center of the room. They wrap themselves around pillars, fingers bleeding, nails cracking, legs flailing, grips giving out. Corpses flip end over end out into space as the abyss hungers for everything the building has. Zevros ripped into the air away from the robot, lighter than our combined group. I reach for him and grab his short mohawk till Victra wraps her legs around him and pulls him to her body. I'm terrified as we slide toward the broken viewport, hands shaking, doubting my decision as I now stare it in the face. Severo was right. We should have pushed into the building, killed Kavix or used him as a shield. Anything but the cold. Anything but the jackal's darkness from which I only just escaped. It's just fear, I tell myself. It's just fear making me panic. And it's spread through my friends. I see the horror on their faces, how they look back at me and see that fear reflected in my own. I cannot be afraid. I've spent too long being afraid, too long being diminished by loss, too long being everything except what I need to be. And whether I am the Reaper or whether it's just another mask, it's one I must wear. Not just for them, but for myself.
Omnisphere Lupus!
I shout, kicking my head back to howl, exhaling all the air in my lungs. Beside me, Ragnar's eyes widen in wild ecstasy. He opens his massive mouth and bellows out a howl to make his ancestors hear him from their icy crypts. Then Pebble joins, and Clown, and even Regal Victra. It's rage and fear leaving our bodies. Though space drags us across the floor to its embrace, though death might come for us, I am home in this weird, screaming mass of humanity. And as we pretend to be brave, we become so. All except Severo, who remains silent as we fly into space. Rip through the broken viewport into vacuum at 80 kilometers an hour. Silence swallows our howling. A shock hits my body, like I've fallen into cold water. My body twitches. The oxygen expands in my blood, forcing my mouth to hiccup for air that isn't there. Lungs don't inflate. They're collapsed, fibrous sacs. My body jerks, desperate for oxygen. But as the seconds tick by and I see the inhuman metal of Phobos's skyscrapers and watch my friends linked together in the darkness, held together by hands and bits of wire, a stillness settles over me. The same stillness that came in the snows with Mustang. That came when the Howlers and I hunkered tight in the gulches of the Institute to roast goat meat and listen to Quinn tell her stories. I sink slowly into another memory. Not of Lycos or Io or Mustang, but of the cold Academy hangar bay where Victra, Tactus, Rogue and I first learned from a pale blue professor what space does to a man's body.
Ebullism, or the formation of bubbles in body fluids due to reduced ambient pressure, is the most severe component of vacuum exposure. Water in the tissues of your body will vaporize, causing gross swelling and...
My darling airhead, I am well accustomed to gross swelling. Just ask your mother, and your father, and your sister.
I hear Tactus say in the memory... and I remember Rogue's laugh. How his cheeks blushed at the crudeness of the joke. Which makes me wonder why he stood so close to Tactus. Why he cared so much about our bawdy friend's drug use, and then wept by Tactus's bedside when he lay dead. The teacher continues.
And multiplicative increase in body volume in 10 seconds, followed by circulatory failure.
I feel sleepy, even as pressure builds in my eyes, warping my vision and distending the tissue there. Pressure builds in my freezing fingers and aching, popped eardrums. My tongue is huge and cold, like an ice serpent slithering through my mouth into my belly as liquid evaporates. Skin stretches, inflating. My fingers are plantains. Gas in my stomach, ballooning my gut. Darkness coming to claim me. I glimpse Sevro beside me. His face is freakish, swollen to twice its normal size. Legs still wrapped around him, Victra looks a monster. She's awake and staring at him with cartoonish, bloodshot eyes, hiccuping for oxygen like a fish out of water. Their hands tighten around each other's.
Water and dissolved gas in the blood forms bubbles in your major veins, which travel throughout the circulatory system, obstructing blood flow and delivering unconsciousness in 15 seconds.
My body fades, seconds becoming an eternal twilight. Everything slowed. Everything so pointless and poignant as I see how ridiculous our human strength is in the end. Take us from our bubbles of life, and what are we? The metal towers around us look carved of ice. The lights and flashing HC screens, like the scales of dragons frozen inside them. Mars is over our heads, consuming and omnipotent. But in Phobos's fast rotation, we're already nearing a place on the planet where dawn comes and light carves a crescent into the darkness. Molten wounds still glow where the two nuclear bombs detonated. And I wonder, in my last moments, if the planet does not mind that we wound her surface or pillage her bounty, because she knows we silly warm things are not even a breath in her cosmic life. We have grown and spread and will rage and die. And when all that remains of us is our steel monuments and plastic idols, her winds will whisper, her sands will shift, and she will spin on and on, forgetting about the bold, hairless apes who thought they deserved immortality. I'm blind. I wake on metal, feel plastic against my face, gasping around me, bodies moving, the coldness of a shuttle engine rumbling under the deck. My body seizes and shivers. I suck down the oxygen. It feels like my head has caved in. The pain is everywhere and fading with each pulse of my heart. My fingers are their normal size. I rub them together, trying to orient myself. I'm shivering. But there's a thermal blanket on me. Unsentimental hands rubbing me to promote circulation.
Clown?
To my left,
Clown,
I hear
you?
Pebble calling for Clown. We'll all be blind for several minutes as our optic nerves recalibrate. He answers her groggily, yeah. And she nearly breaks down crying.
Victra! Go! Wake up! Wake up!
Gear rattles as he shakes her.
Wake up!
He slaps her face. She wakes with a gasp.
The hell? Did you just hit me?
I thought... It...
She slaps him back.
Who is that?
I ask the hands that rub my shoulders through the blanket.
Holiday, sir. We scooped your popsicles up 4 minutes ago.
How long were we out there?
About 2 minutes, 30 seconds. It was a shit show. We had to empty the cargo bay and have the pilot fly backward into you, then pressurize it on the fly. These carrots can't soldier, but they can damn well steer garbage ships. Oh, still, if you hadn't been linked, most of you would be dead as lead. There's rubble and corpses floating around the sector now. HC crews crawling everywhere.
Ragnar?
I ask, fearfully, not having heard him yet.
I am here, my friend. The Abyss will not climb us yet. Not just yet.
We're in trouble, and Sevro knows it. Season command back from me as soon as we land in the dilapidated docking berth of a Sons of Ares safe house, deep in industrial sector. He orders the still unconscious Mateo and Quicksilver to the infirmary to be woken up, Kavix to a cell, and tells Rollo and the Sons to prepare for an assault. The Sons stare at us, dumbstruck. Our obsidian disguises are obliterated, particularly mine. The prosthetics on my face have fallen off in the battle. Contacts sucked off in the vacuum. Black hair dye thinned out from sweat. Still got my gloves, though. But these Sons don't look at a pack of obsidians now. They're staring at a cadre of golds. An obsidian, a grey, and at least one ghost.
The Reaper,
someone whispers.
Keep your mouth shut. Not a word to anyone.
Whatever he says, soon the rumor will spread among them. The Reaper lives. Whatever the effect it'll have, it's not the right time. We may have avoided police pursuit, but such a high-profile kidnapping, not to mention the assassination of two high-level peerless, will ensure that the full analytical weight of the Jackal's counter-terrorism units is brought to bear on the evidence. Praetorian and Securitas anti-terrorism tech squads will already be poring over the footage of the attack. They'll discover how we gained access to the facility, how we made our escape, and who our likely compatriots were. Every weapon, piece of equipment, ship used will be traced to its source. Society reprisals against low colors throughout the station will be swift and brutal. And when they analyze the visual evidence of our little vacuum escape, they'll see my face and Sevro's. Then the Jackal himself will come. Or he'll send Antonia or Lilith to hunt me down with their bone riders. The clock's ticking. But that's supposing the authorities suspect that only Quicksilver was kidnapped. I don't know why Mustang and Cassius were meeting, but I have to assume the Jackal doesn't know about it. That's why I used our jammers, so the security cameras outside of Quicksilver's control wouldn't ID Kavix. If the Jackal saw him here, he'd know something was amiss with his alliance with the Sovereign and Quicksilver. And I want to keep that card in my pocket till I know how best to use it, and can speak with Mustang. But what will the Sovereign think when Cassius calls her to tell her Moira is dead? And what is Mustang's place here? There are too many questions, too many things I don't know. But what haunts me as we run down metal halls, as my friends go to patch wounds and we pass armories where dozens of reds and browns and oranges load weapons and buckle armor, is what she said.
I have the Pax. Orion is alive.
With her, that could mean a dozen things. And the only one who will know is Kavix. I need to ask him. But Ragnar's already taken him down another hall to the Sun's lockup. Sevro stopped rattling off orders to others to address me.
Reap, they're gonna hit us and hit us hard. You know Legion military procedures better than I do. Get to the data center, fast-like. Give me a timetable and their plan of attack. We can't stop them, but we can buy time.
Time for what?
To blow the bombs and find a way out of this rock.
He puts a hand on my arm, just as cognizant of those Sons watching as I am.
Please, get moving.
He heads off down the hall with the rest of the Howlers, leaving me alone with Holiday. I turn to her.
Holiday, you know Legion procedures. Get to the data center. Give the Sons the tactical support they need.
She looks back down the hall, to where Sevro has turned a corner.
You good with that?
Yes, sir. Where are you going?
I tighten my gloves.
To get answers.
Virginia told us you were a Red after she left you. That is why we did not come to your triumph.
Kavax is bound to a steel pipe, legs splayed out on the floor. Still in his armor, red gold beard dark in the low light. He cuts a menacing figure, but I'm surprised by the openness of his face, the lack of hatred, the clarity of excitement as his nostrils flare wide in recounting his tale to Ragnar and me. Severo told the sons that no one was to see Kavax, but apparently they don't think the rules much apply to the Reaper. Good on that. I don't yet have a plan, but I know Severo's isn't working. I don't have time to navigate his feelings or struggle with him. The pieces are in motion, and I need information.
She did not know yet what to do, and so took our counsel as she did as a girl. We were on my ship, the Reynard, having roast mutton in ponzu sauce with Sophocles, though he did not like the sauce, when Aegea Command called, saying the Sovereign's loyalist forces had attacked the Triumph in Aegea. Virginia could not contact you or her father, and so she feared a coup and sent Daxo and me from orbit with our knights. She stayed in orbit with the ships and finally contacted Roke when Daxo and I were already descending through the atmosphere. Roke said the Sovereign had attacked the Triumph and wounded you and her father gravely. He urged her to come to one of his new ships, where he was taking you because the surface was no longer safe.
I remember Roke talking on the shuttle as the Jackal leaned over me, not being able to hear him. We landed on a ship. The Sovereign was there. She never left Mars. She was hiding in Roke's fleet, right under my nose.
But Virginia did not rush to your bedside. A fool in love would do so, but Virginia is clever. She saw through Roke's mendacity. She knew the Sovereign would not simply attack the Triumph. It would be a plan within a plan. So she sent word to Orion and House Arcos that a coup was underway, that Roke was a conspirator. So when the assassins struck, attempting to kill Orion and the loyal commanders on their bridge, they were ready. There were firefights on bridges, in staterooms. Orion was badly shot in the arm, but she survived. And then Roke's ships opened fire on ours and the fleet fractured.
All this while Severo and Ragnar were discovering that Fichtner was dead and the Sons of Ares base had been destroyed. And I lay paralyzed on the floor of Aja's shuttle as everything came apart. No, not everything.
She saved the crew's lives.
Yes, your crew is alive. The one you liberated with Severo. Even many of your legion, who we organized and managed to evacuate from Mars before the Jackal and Sovereign's forces took power.
Where are my friends imprisoned? On Ganymede? Io?
Imprisoned?
Kavax squints at me, then bursts into laughter.
No, lad, no. Not a man or woman has left their station. The Pax is just as you left it. Orion commands, the rest follow.
I don't understand. She's letting a blue command.
Do you think Virginia would have let you live in that tunnel when you and Ragnar were on your knees if she did not believe in your new world?
I shake my head numbly, not knowing the answer.
She would have killed you on the spot if she thought you were her enemy. But when she sat before my hearth as a girl beside Pax and my children, what stories did I read them? Did I read them myths of the old Greeks, of strong men gaining glory for their own heads? No! No, I told them tales of Arthur, of the Nazarene, of Vishnu, strong heroes who wished only to protect the weak.
And Mustang has. More than that, she's proven Io right. And it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of love. It was because it was the right thing to do. And because mighty Kavax was more a father to her than her own ever was. I feel the tears in my eyes.
You were right, Dero.
Ragnar's hand falls on my shoulder.
The tide rises.
Then why are you here today, Kavax?
Because we are losing. The Moon Lords will not last 2 months. Virginia knows what is happening on Mars. The extermination, the savagery of her brother. The sons are too weak to fight everywhere.
His large eyes show the pain of a man watching his home burn. Mars is as much their heritage as it is mine.
The cost of war is too great for a certain defeat. So when Quicksilver proposed a peace, we listened.
And what are the terms?
Virginia and all her allies will be pardoned by the Sovereign. She would become Arch-Governor of Mars, and Adreus and his faction would be imprisoned for life. And certain reforms would be made.
But the hierarchy would remain.
Yes.
If this is true, we must speak with her.
It could be a trap.
I watch Kavax, knowing the mind at work behind his bluff face. I want to trust him. I want to believe his sense of justice is equal to my love for him. But these are deep waters, and I know friends can lie just as well as enemies. If Mustang isn't on my side, then this would be the play to make. It would expose me. And there's no doubt in my mind that however she got on this station, she's got a nasty escort.
One thing doesn't make sense, Kavax. If this is true, why didn't you make contact with Sevro?
Kavax blinks up at me.
We did. Months ago. Didn't he tell you?
The Howlers are packing up by the time Ragnar and I rejoin them in the ready room.
It's all shit.
Sevro winces as Victra patches a gash on his back with res flesh. Acrid smoke hisses up from the cauterizing wound. He throws down his data pad. It skitters into a corner, where Screwface collects it and brings it back to Sevro.
They've grounded everything, including utility flights.
It's all right, boss. We'll find a way out.
I entered the room quietly, nodding to Sevro that I'd like a word. He ignored me. His plan's a mess. We were due to stow ourselves away inside one of the empty helium haulers, going back to Mars. We would have been gone before anyone even knew Quicksilver was kidnapped, and then detonated the bombs off station. Now, like Sevro says, it's all shit.
We obviously can't stay here. We left enough DNA evidence for 100 crime scenes back there, and our faces are everywhere. Adreus will send a whole legion for us when they find out we're here.
Or blow Phobos out of the sky.
Holiday mutters. She sits on a crate of medical supplies in the corner, studying maps with Clown on her datapad. Pebble watches them from her place on the table, her legs compressed with a gel cast, but the bones not set. We'll need a yellow and a full infirmary to fix what Mustang broke with a single shot. Pebble's lucky she was wearing scarab skin. It minimized the burn damage. Still, she's in pain. Pupils large on a high dose of narcotics. It's let her inhibitions loose, and I note how obviously the pudgy-faced gold is watching Clown lean across Holiday to point at the map.
Helium-3 is Adreus's lifeblood. He won't risk this station.
Sevro, a moment.
Busy right now. Rollo, is there any other way off this damn rock?
The red leans against the medroom's grey wall, next to a glossy paper cutout of a pink model, on one of Venus's white sand beaches.
It's just cargo haulers down here.
He silently notes how our obsidian guises have been discarded. If it startles him how many of us are gold, he doesn't let on. Probably knew from the start. His eyes linger on me the longest.
But they're all grounded. They got luxury liners and private yachts in the Needles, but you go up there, you folks are caught in a minute. Two tops. There's facial recognition cameras at every tram door, retina scanners in the advertisement hollows, and even if you get onto one of their ships, you gotta get past the naval pickets. Ain't like I can just teleport to safety.
That'd be convenient.
We jack a shuttle and run the pickets. Done it before.
They'll shoot us down. It's pissing me off that he keeps ignoring my attempts to get him to the door.
Didn't last time.
Last time we had Lysander.
And now we got Quicksilver.
The Jackal will sacrifice Quicksilver to kill us. Can't
count on it.
Not if we go straight vertical burn to the surface. Suns have hidden tunnel entrances. We will fall from orbit and go straight underground.
I will not do that. It is foolhardy, and it abandons these noble men and women to slaughter.
I agree with Rags.
Holiday scoots away from Clown and continues looking at her datapad, monitoring police frequencies.
Say you get off. What happens to us? The Jackal finds out the Reaper and Ares were here, and he'll tear this station apart piecemeal. Any son left behind will be dead in a week. Did you think of that?
He makes a disgusted look.
I know who you are. We knew the second Ragnar walked into the hangar. But I didn't think Howlers ran. And I didn't think the Reaper took orders.
Severo takes a step toward him.
You got another option, shitface? Or are you just gonna run your mouth?
Yeah, I got one. Stay. Help us take the station.
Take the station? With what army?
His.
Rollo turns to me.
I don't rightly know how you're alive, Reaper, but I was eating noodles by myself at midnight when the Suns leaked your carving video onto the Holonet. Society Cyber Police shut down the site in 2 minutes, but once it was out, could find it on a million sites before I finished my bowl. They couldn't contain that. And then the Phobos servers crashed. You know why?
Securitas' cyber division pulled the plug. It's standard protocol.
He shakes his head.
Servers crashed because 30 million people were trying to access the Holonet at the same time in the middle of the night. Servers couldn't handle the traffic. Gold's pulled the plug after that. So what I'm saying is, if you march down to the Hive and tell the low colors there you're alive, we can take this moon.
Easy as that?
That's right. There's round about 25 million low colors here, crawling over one another, fighting for square meters, protein packages, syndicate smack, whatever. Reaper shows his mug. All that goes to vapor. All that fighting, all that scrapping. They want a leader. And if the Reaper of Mars decides to come back from the dead here, you won't have an army. You'll have a tide at your heels. You register. This will change the war.
He sends chills down my spine. But Victor is skeptical, and Severo's quiet. Hurt.
Do you know what a squad of Society Legionnaires can do to a mob of rabble? The weapons you've seen are geared to taking out men in armor. Pulse fists, razors. And when they use coil guns or rattlers on mobs, a single man can fire 1,000 rounds a minute. It sounds like paper tearing. Human body doesn't even know that sound is supposed to be frightening. And they can superheat the water in your cellular structure with microwaves. And those are just grey anti-mob squads. What if they unleash the obsidian? What if golds themselves come in their armor? And what if they shut off your air, your water?
What if we shut off theirs?
I frown. Can you do that?
Give me a reason to.
He looks at Victra, and by the bite in his voice, I know he knows exactly what her last name is.
They might be soldiers, Domina. Might be able to put enough metal in my body that I bleed out. But before I was 9, I could strip down a grav boot and piece it together in under 4 minutes. Now I'm 38 and I can murder the lot of them 10 ways till Sunday with a screwdriver and an electrical kit. And I'm sick and tired of not seeing my family. I've been stepped on and charged for oxygen, for water, for living.
He leans forward, eyes glassy.
And there's 25 million of me on the other side of that door.
Victra rolls her eyes at the bravado.
You're a welder with delusions of grandeur.
Rollo knocks a set of wrenches off a table. They clatter on the ground, startling Clown and Holiday, who look up from their datapad. Rollo stares up indignantly at Victra. She's easily a foot taller than him, but he doesn't break his gaze.
I'm an engineer, not a welder.
Enough! This isn't a bloody damn debate. Quicksilver will get us off this rock, or I'll start taking off his fingers. Then blow the bombs.
Severo.
I am Ares, not you.
He shoves a finger up into Ragnar's chest and then points at me.
And not you. Finish packing the bloody damn gear. Now.
He storms from the room, leaving us in awkward silence.
I will not abandon these men. They have helped us. They are our people.
Ares is cracked, off his mind. You nitwit.
I wheel on the small man, picking him up with one hand and pinning him against the ceiling.
Don't you say a damn thing about him.
Sorry.
Rollo apologizes, and I set him back on the ground. I make sure all the howlers are listening.
Everyone stay put. I'll be right back.
I catch Severo before he enters Quicksilver's cell in a gutted old garage that the Suns use to house generators now. Severo and the guards turn when they hear me coming.
Oh, don't trust me alone with him. Nice.
We need to talk.
Sure. After he does.
Severo pushes open the door.
Shit.
Cursing, I follow. The room's a forlorn shade of rust. Machines older than some of the gear in Lycos. One rattles behind the thick silver, coughing out the electricity that powers the lights, bathing the man in a circle of light and blinding him to anything beyond it. Quicksilver sits with his shoulders back in the metal chair in the center of the room, arms bound behind his back. His turquoise robe is bloody and rumpled, bulldog eyes patient and measuring, wide foreheads covered in a thick sheen of sweat and grease.
Who are you?
He hisses in irritation instead of fear. The door slams shut behind us. The man seems rather irritated with his predicament. Not disrespectful or angry, but professionally peeved at the meek measure of our hospitality and the inconvenience we've thrust upon him. He's not able to distinguish our faces due to the light blaring into his eyes.
Syndicate Teethman, Moon Lord Dustmakers.
When we say nothing, he swallows.
Edrius, is that you?
Chills creep down my spine. We say nothing. Only now, as he begins to suspect that we're the Jackal's men, does Quicksilver seem truly afraid. If we had time, we could use that fear. But we need information. Fast.
We need off this rock. You're gonna make that happen, boyo, or I pull off your fingers one by one.
Boyo?
I know you have an escape vessel. Contingency plans up the...
Barker, is that you?
Severo's caught off guard.
It is you. Damn the stars, boy. You scared the shit out of me. I thought you were the gory damn Jackal.
You have 10 seconds to give me something I can use, or I wear your ribcage as a corset.
Severo's thrown by Quicksilver's familiarity. It's not his best threat. Quicksilver shakes his head.
You need to listen to me, Mr. Barker, and listen well. This is all a misunderstanding, a vast misunderstanding. I know you may not believe it. I know you may think me mad, but you must hear me. I am on your side. I am one of you, Mr. Barker.
One of us? What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean exactly as I say, young man. I, Regulus Ag Sun, Chevalier of the Order of Coin, Chief Executive Officer of Sun Industries, am also a founding member of the Sons of Ares.
A son of Ares?
Severo steps into the light so Quicksilver can see his face. I stay back. It's a ludicrous claim.
That's better. I thought I recognized your voice. More like your father's than you probably like. But yes, I'm a son. The first son, actually.
Well, then slag me blind as a pincor. This is all just a misunderstanding.
He jumps forward and crouches beside Quicksilver to straighten the man's robe.
Oh, we'll get you cleaned up. Let you call your man. Sound good?
Yes, good, because you've managed to muck up something rather...
Severo hits the silver right in his fleshy lips with a jab of his fist. It's an intimate, familiar bit of violence that makes me flinch. Quicksilver's head slams back against the chair. The man tries to move away, but Severo pins him down easily.
Your tricks won't work here, fat little toad man.
That's not a trick!
Severo hits him again. Quicksilver sputters, blood dribbling down his cracked lip. Tries to blink the pain away, probably seeing spots. Severo hits him a third time, casually. And I think it was for me, not the tycoon, because Severo looks back into the darkness where I stand with impudent eyes, as if dangling moral bait in front of me so we can explode into conflict again. His moral creed has always been simple. Protect your friends, to hell with everyone else. Severo pushes a knife into Quicksilver's mouth.
I know you think you're being clever, boyo, saying you're a son, thinking you're so smooth, thinking you can talk your way clear of us dumb brutes. But I've played this game with smarter kinds than you, and I've learned hard, Keen.
He pulls the knife sideways against Quicksilver's cheek, causing the man to move his head with the blade. Still, it splits the corner of his mouth just slightly.
So whatever your garble, you ain't coming out on top of this, shit brain. You're a rat, a collaborator, and it's time to reap what you've sown. So you're gonna tell us how to get out of here. If you've got a ship hidden, if you can get us past the Navy, then you're gonna tell us about the Jackal's plans, his equipment, his infrastructure. Then, you're gonna give us the gear to equip our army.
Quicksilver's eyes dart from the knife to Severo's face.
Use your brains, you little savage. Where do you think Fitchner got the money?
Don't say his name.
Severo points a finger to the man's face.
Don't you dare say his name.
I knew your father.
Then why'd he never mention you? Why does Dancer not know you? Because you're lying!
Why would they know about me? You never tie two boats together in a storm.
The words are a punch to the gut. Fitchner said the exact phrase when explaining why he didn't tell me about Titus. The Sons lost much of their technical ability when he died. What if there were two bodies to the Sons of Ares' body? The low colors and the high, kept apart in case one was compromised. It's what I would do. He promised me better allies if I went to Luna. Allies that would help make me sovereign. This could be one of them. One who fled when Fitchner died, who cut himself off from the contaminated body of the Sons.
Why was Mateo in your bedroom?
Quicksilver stares into the darkness, wondering whose voice addresses him. Yet now there's fear in his eyes, not just anger.
How did you know he was in my bedroom?
Answer the question.
Severo kicks him.
Did you hurt him? Did you hurt him?
Answer the question.
Severo repeats, slapping him. Quicksilver trembles with anger.
He was in my room because he's my husband, you son of a bitch. He's one of us, if you hurt him.
How long has he been your husband?
10 years.
Where was he 6 years ago, when he worked with Dancer?
He was in Yorkton. He was the man who trained your friend, Severo. He trained Darrow. The carver made the body, Mateo sculpted the man.
He's telling the truth.
I step into the light so Quicksilver can see my face. He stares at me in shock.
Darrow, you're alive. I thought... It can't be.
I turn to Severo.
He's a son of Ares.
Because he got a few facts right? You're actually serious.
You're alive.
Quicksilver tries to wrap his head around what is happening.
How? He killed you.
He's telling the truth.
Truth?
Severo moves his mouth like he's got a cockroach in it.
What does that even bloody mean? How could you possibly know that? You think you can get the truth out of some backroom dealing shark like this? He's in bed with half the peerless scarred in the society. He ain't just their tool. He's their friend. And he's playing you like the Jackal did. If he's a son, why'd he abandon us? Why'd he not contact us when Pops died?
Because your ship was sinking.
Quicksilver still stares at me in confusion.
Your cells were compromised. I had no way of knowing how deep the contamination went. I still don't know how the Jackal discovered you, Darrow. My only contact to the low-color cells was Fitchner, just like I was his contact for the high-color cells. How could I reach out when I didn't know if it was Dancer himself who informed on you and made a power play to get rid of Fitchner?
Dancer would never do that.
How would I know that? I don't know the man.
Severo's shaking his head, overwhelmed by the absurdity.
I have videos, conversations between myself and your father.
I'm not letting you near a datapad.
Test him. Make him prove it.
I met your mother once, Severo. Her name was Bryn. She was a Red. If I wasn't a son, how would I know that?
You could know that a dozen ways. Proof's piss and shit.
I have a test. If you are a son, you'll know it. If you belong to the Jackal, you would have used it. Where is Tinos?
Quicksilver smiles broadly.
500 kilometers south of the Thermic Sea. 3 kilometers beneath the old mining nexus Vengo Station, in an abandoned mining colony, the records of which were wiped from the internal servers of the Society by my hackers. The stalactites were carved hollow using Acheron 19 laser drills from my factories in spiral holes to maintain structural integrity. The Italian hydro generator was built with plans designed by my engineers. Tinos might be the city of Ares, but I designed it. I paid for it. I built it.
Severo sways there in stunned silence.
Your father worked for me, Severo. First for the terraforming consortium on Triton, where he met your mother, then in less legitimate ways. Back then, I was not what I am today. I needed a gold, a hard-nosed, peerless scarred, and all the legal protection that gives. One who owed me and was willing to play rough with my competitors. Off the books, you know.
You're saying my father played mercenary for you?
I'm saying he played assassin. I was growing. There was resistance in the marketplace to that growth. So the marketplace had to make room. You think all silvers play it safe and legal? Some, maybe. But business in a crony capitalist society is the craft of sharks. Stop swimming, the others will take your food and feed on your body. I gave your father money. He hired a team, worked off-site, did what I needed him to do, until I discovered he was using my resources for a side project. The Sons of Ares.
He makes a mockery of the words. But you didn't report him.
Gold treats sedition like cancer. I'd have been cut out too. So I was trapped. But he didn't want me trapped. He wanted a co-conspirator. Gradually, he made his case. And here we are.
Severo paces away, trying to make sense of it.
But we've been dying like flies. And you've been up here, humping your pinks, fraternizing with the enemy. If you were one of us...
Then I would have done what, Mr. Barker? Do tell from your extensive experience and subterfuge.
You would have fought with us.
With what,
He waits for an answer. None comes. Severo's speechless.
I have a private security force of 30,000 for myself and my companies, but they're spread from Mercury to Pluto. I don't own those men. They are gray contractors. Only a fraction are owned obsidians. I have the weapons, but I don't have the muscle to tussle with peerless Scarred. Are you crazy? I use soft power, not hard power. That was your father's purview. Even a minor house could wipe me out in direct conflict.
You have the largest software company in the solar system. That means hackers. You have munitions plants, military tech development. You could have spied for us on the Jackal, given us weapons. You could have done 1,000 things.
May I be blunt?
I grimace.
If ever there was a time.
Quicksilver leans back to peer down his humped nose at Severo.
I've been a son of Ares for more than 20 years. That requires patience, a long-eyed view. You've been one for less than a year, and look what's happened. You Mr. Barker, are a bad investment.
A bad investment?
It sounds ridiculous, coming from a man chained to a metal chair with blood dribbling down his lips. But something in Quicksilver's eyes sells his point. This isn't a victim. It's a titan of a different plane, master of his own domain, equal, it seems, to Fitchner's own breed of genius, and more vast a character, more nuanced than I would have expected. But I reserve any affection for the man. He's survived by lying for 20 years. Everything is an act. Probably even this. Who is the real man beneath this bulldog face? What drives him? What does he want?
I watched. I waited to see what you would do, to see if you were cut like your father. But then they executed Darrow, or pretended to. And you acted like a boy. You began a war you couldn't win with insufficient infrastructure, materiel, systems of coordination, supply lines. You released propaganda in the form of Darrow's carving to the worlds, to the mines, hoping for, what, a glorious rise of the proletariat? I thought you understood war. For all his faults, your father was a visionary. He promised me something better. And what has his son given us instead? Ethnic cleansing, nuclear war, beheadings, pogroms, whole cities shredded by fractious groups of red rebels and gold reprisals. Disunity. In other words, chaos. And chaos, Mr. Barker, is not what I invested in. It's bad for business, and what's bad for business is bad for man.
Several swallows, slowly, feeling the weight of the words.
I did what I had to. What no one else would.
Did you? Or did you do what you wanted to do because your feelings were hurt? Because you wanted to lash out?
Severo's eyes are glassy. His silence wounding me. I want to defend him, but he needs to hear this.
You think I haven't been fighting, but I have. The Sovereign's opinion of the Jackal seems to have soured of late.
Why?
I couldn't guess before, but now I'd bet anything it's because you escaped the Jackal's prisons. In any case, I saw an opportunity. I brought Virginia Au Augustus and the Sovereign's representatives here to broker a peace that would give Virginia the arch-governorship of Mars and would remove the Jackal from power and put him in prison for life. It's not the end I wanted. But if what we're seeing on the Jackal's Mars is any indication, he is the single greatest threat to the worlds and our long-term goals.
And yet you helped him consolidate power in the first place.
At the time, I thought him less of a threat than his father. I was wrong. And so are you. He needs to be removed.
The Jackal's been betrayed by two allies then. But your plans for an alliance are slagged now.
Indeed, but I don't mourn the opportunity lost. You're alive, Darrow, and that means this rebellion is alive. It means Fitchner's dream, your wife's dream, is not yet gone from this world.
Why? Why the bloody hell would you want war? You're the richest man in the system. You're not an anarchist.
No. I am not an anarchist, a communist, a fascist, a plutocrat, or even a democrat for that matter. My boys, don't believe what they tell you in school. Government is never the solution, but it is almost always the problem. I'm a capitalist, and I believe in effort and progress and the ingenuity of our species, the continuing evolution and advancement of our kind based on fair competition. Fact of the matter is, gold does not want man to continue to evolve. Since the conquering, they have routinely stifled advancement to maintain their heaven. They've wrapped themselves in myth, filled their grand oceans with monsters to hunt, cultivated private Mirkwoods and Olympuses of their very own. They have suits of armor to make them flying gods, and they preserve that ridiculous fairy tale by keeping mankind frozen in time, curbing invention, curiosity, social mobility. Change threatens that. Look where we are, in space, above a planet we shaped. Yet we live in a society modeled after the musings of Bronze Age pedophiles, tossing around mythology like that bullshit wasn't made up around a campfire by an Attican farmer depressed that his life was nasty, brutish, and short. The Golds claim to the Obsidians that they are gods. They are not. Gods create. If the Golds are anything, they are vampire kings, parasites drinking from our jugular. I want a society free of this fascist pyramid. I want to unchain the free market of wealth and ideas. Why should men toil in the mines when we can build robots to toil for us? Why should we ever have stopped in this solar system? We deserve more than what we've been given. But first, gold must fall, and the sovereign and the jackal must die. And I believe you are the sign I've been waiting for, Mr. Andromedus.
He nods at my gloved hands.
I paid for your sigils. I paid for your bones, your eyes, your flesh. You are my friend's brainchild, my husband's student, the sum of the sons of Ares. So my empire is at your disposal. My hackers, my security teams, my transports, my companies, all yours, with no reservations, no strings, no insurance policy.
He looks at Severo.
Gentlemen, in other words, I'm all in.
Quite nice. Darrow, he's just trying to buy you so he can escape.
Maybe. But we can't blow the bombs anymore.
Bombs? What are you talking about?
We planted explosives in the refineries and the shipping docks.
That's your plan?
Quicksilver looks back and forth at us as if we're mad.
You can't do that! Do you have any idea what that would do?
An economic collapse. Symptoms including a devaluation of stock assets, a freeze of commercial bank lending, a run on local banks, eventual stagflation, and a breakdown of social order. Show us some respect when you talk to us. We're not dilettantes or boys, and it was our plan.
Was? So now you're letting him dictate what we do.
Things have changed, Severo. We need to reassess. We've new assets.
My friend stares at me as if he doesn't recognize my face.
New assets? Him?
Not just him. Orion. You never told me Mustang contacted you.
Because you would have let her manipulate you. Like you did before. Like you're letting him now.
He considers me, pointing a finger as he thinks he figures it out.
You're afraid, aren't you? Afraid of pulling the trigger. Afraid of making a mistake. We finally have a chance to make gold bleed, and you want to reassess. You want to take time to look at our options.
He pulls the detonator from his pocket.